When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
We get support from UC Davis, a globally ranked university working to solve the world's most pressing problems in food, energy, health, education, and the environment. UC Davis researchers collaborate and innovate in California and around the globe to find transformational solutions. It's all part of the university's mission to promote quality of life for all living things. Find out more at 21stcentury.ucdavis.edu.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. If you were standing in the crowd for any of the presidential inaugurations from Andrew Jackson through Dwight D. Eisenhower, you'd have seen the solemn oath of office taken between 24 tall, smooth columns at the east portico of the United States Capitol building. When the columns were installed in 1824, the sandstone slabs themselves that made up the columns, even before they were erected, were considered so important that they were transported from the Potomac River to Capitol Hill by human power alone. No lowly mules were deemed fit to move such sacred objects. But they didn't have quite the same standing in 1958.
They had been taken off the East Front when the East Front was extended. They were stored down along the Potomac, crated, slowly disintegrating.
After the renovation of the Capitol, the columns all got the boot. The notion was horrifying to Ethel Garrett, and she conscripted her friend, Betty Ray.
I'm Elizabeth C. Ray, known as Betty Ray.
And sometime in the 1970s, they made it their mission to get the columns back on their feet.
I thought this would be very simple. I mean, who would say, you know, couldn't do this?
It turns out plenty of people stood in the way.
Technically, they still belong to Congress.
And after 10 years of meetings,
you had to appear before various committees.
And more meetings.
And then they would have another meeting.
And fundraising.
I had to appear before the National Capital Planning Commission.
And hiring architects and surveyors.
I learned a tremendous amount about bureaucracy.
The columns were moved from storage.
From the area along the Potomac, they were put on trailers and strapped with, you know, bands of steel things on mattresses, old mattresses, and they've then brought to the National Arboretum.
The Arboretum is a swath of greenery nestled in among the warehouses and gas stations at the edge of Washington, D.C. It's where the old columns of the U.S. Capitol still are today.
When you're walking up to the columns located on a high area in the meadow of the Arboretum, they're majestic. They're huge columns. They, of course, are freestanding. They are really majestic, and there's only one way to describing it, majestic.
I could see them approaching from the field, and they actually look pretty majestic.
The consensus seems to be that they look pretty majestic.
It's pretty spectacular.
That's radio producer Jess Schreibstein checking out the columns at the National Arboretum.
So to my right, on the crest of this very small hill, are, I want to guesstimate, a couple dozen columns? I think it's
22.
With her is Chrissy Moore. She works at the Arboretum.
So they have Corinthian tops on these columns, and they're lined up in a few rows, very tall. I understand why people think that they're from Greece.
Yes.
Or from Rome, because it actually looks like some old Greek ruin sitting on top of a hill.
A definite, distinct grandeur about it that you won't see much outside of Washington, D.C.
Independent of their grand presentation, the columns hold a certain power, even if they don't, you know, hold a roof. But not all of the old East Portico had a champion like Betty Ray.
Yeah, my directions say, go downhill into the woods.
Go down towards the bottom of the hill. There will be no trail. Don't worry. Keep walking.
Several miles away from the National Arboretum, where there's no visitor center, there are no commemorative plaques.
Then there'll be, at the bottom of the hill, there'll be a trail that goes up into a ravine. And you go on that trail, and then at a large concrete bridge, take the lower fork to pass under the bridge, and then there's a clearing on the left. Are these something?
And here in the middle of the woods lies the rest of the Capitol's East Portico, the parts that didn't make it to the Arboretum.
To the right of us are basically stacks and stacks of columns that we almost could have walked right by, I feel like.
Could have walked right by, not even seen them.
Yeah, because they're next to some buildings, so it looks like it could just be, you know, part of some building materials. But if you look at it more closely, you see that they are actually kind of moss-covered and do look rather ancient.
This place is 100 square yards of busted up architecture, mounds of stone and granite, and decapitated heads of Corinthian columns weathering in the snow. But its arrangement is oddly intentional, with bits of building carefully stacked 12, 15 feet high, with wells and chasms spanning between.
This is it? They're just going to leave them here? It seems kind of sad.
They are the physical manifestation of the parts of history that didn't make the cut.
They do look a bit sad. They look pretty dejected.
Wow. Okay. It's kind of quite a climb up here. Ugh. Whoa, this one's wobbly.
But even here, without the rolling meadow and historic backdrop, the ruins still managed to be majestic.
I think if I had discovered this when I was a kid, I would have felt like I discovered the lost world.
Yeah, it feels a little like Atlantis.
This episode of 99% Invisible was produced by me, Roman Mars, with Sam Greenspan and Jess Schreibstein, with help from Melissa Lee and John Asante. The four of them have their own fledgling podcast called Whisper Cities. Learn more at whispercities.org. This program is made possible with support from Lunar, making a difference with creativity. It's a project of KALW, the American Institute of Architects San Francisco, and the Center for Architecture and Design. More, including cool pictures of big columns, at 99percentinvisible.org.
Reading minds is hard, but the good news is you don't have to. User testing helps you remove the guesswork and build products with greater confidence by including direct customer feedback at each stage of the product development process. This result allows you to quickly build experiences that meet changing customer expectations while minimizing risk and costly rework. With user testing, you have a trusted partner in experience research. We empower UX research, product, and design teams to make higher confidence decisions with human insights. Learn more today at usertesting.com/invisible.